We invite you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to Matthew chapter 11. We'll be reading verses 28 through 30. Very familiar three verses. Some of you may have these memorized. Notice the contrast. The word yoke is used twice in these three verses, and we know that a yoke is associated with heavy work. It is associated with strenuous labor. But also notice in these three verses, the word rest is used twice as well, along with easy and light. So how can we associate, based on what Jesus is saying here, rest with an instrument of work? And I feel that Brother Brian may be dealing with that in the message today. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We want to come to prayer at this time and invite all those who are able to kneel with us.
We greet each one of you this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This topic for the morning is the heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus. As we look at the heart of Jesus, who he was at his very core, at his very center, his emotions and his will. Perhaps the greatest picture we have of that here on earth is in the life of a mother. As we look at a mother's heart, what moves a mother? What motivates a mother? We get a glimpse into the heart of Jesus Christ. And we'd like to look this morning at a number of attributes of the heart of Jesus and then compare them to the heart of a mother. My goal this morning is to encourage all you mothers, grandmothers, aunts, sisters, spiritual mothers, to keep pressing on, to not give up, because your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has experienced whatever you're going through right now. Hebrews 2:17 says, "Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he may be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Jesus can identify with what a mother is going through. Mother, this morning, if your heart is joyful, Jesus has experienced joy. He can identify with you. If you're tired and exhausted, Jesus can identify with you. He's experienced it. If you're frustrated, disgusted, Jesus can identify with you. He's experienced that. If you're sorrow, if you're heavy-hearted, if you're depressed this morning, Jesus has identified, can identify with you. Mothers, whatever you're facing this morning, your Lord and Savior can identify with you. The heart of Jesus. heart. We've sort of been studying that a little bit in our minister training courses, but the heart is described in Scripture is not necessarily, sometimes it's a physical organ, but not often. The heart is often is in Scripture means the center, the core, who you are. It combined your mind and your thought and your will and your emotions and your affections. And as we look at the heart of mother, we get a clear picture in this world of the heart of Jesus. I'd like to look at four attributes of the heart of Jesus. One, the heart of Jesus is one of forgiveness. The heart of Jesus is one of forgiveness. There's much we could say, and there's many places in Scripture we could turn as we think about the heart of Jesus being a forgiving heart. But the one I direct you to this morning is the one, his cry from the cross, when he cried in Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus, there on the cross, beaten, Scripture tells us beyond recognition, his body was one complete bruise from the head to the foot. He was mocked. He had a farce of a trial. He was crowned king with a crown of thorns and mockery. He was made fun of. He was spit upon. He was slapped. He was abused. He was humiliated. He was rejected by his own people. And yet he cried out from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The people didn't ask for forgiveness. The people didn't say they were sorry. The people didn't request Jesus to forgive them. But he turned it over to the Father. Perhaps some here this morning have a heart heavy with unforgiveness, bitterness. Maybe you're waiting for an apology that's never come and perhaps never will come. Maybe you're waiting for someone to recognize that they've hurt you, they've abused you, they said mean things about you, and it never came and perhaps never will come. Maybe you're waiting for someone to say they're sorry. I'd encourage you this morning, I beg you this morning to let it go. Let it go. Turn it over to God. Cry out to God, Father, forgive them. They may not know that they've hurt me. Maybe they do know and they don't care. But you have to let it go. You have to let it go. You have to turn it over to God. You know, the reason I've had that text read from Matthew is for three words. Jesus says, learn from me. Learn from me. I am meek and I am lowly. He says, learn from me. This morning, if you have an unforgiving heart, I beg you to learn from your Savior, Jesus Christ, what to do about it. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Perhaps in some small way, we see that lived out every day in the heart of mother, don't we? In the heart of mother. Mother is perhaps the most unappreciated person in the world. Husband spends a hard day at the work or in the office and comes home short-tempered and self-centered and often says something unkind, maybe demanding, mother lets it go. Children don't value mother oftentimes. They take advantage of her kindness. Their demands are many. But mother lets it go. Mother forgives. Mother forgets. Mother goes on. And in the heart of that mother, we see a picture of Jesus Christ. Oh, mothers, if we could only thank you enough for your faithful example in forgiveness of the picture you paint for us of the heart of Jesus Christ. Secondly, I'd like you to consider the submitted heart of Jesus. The submitted heart of Jesus. Jesus was submitted to his Father's will, taught many times again throughout Scripture. Jesus in John 5:30 says, I came and I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Jesus is very clear. He didn't come to do what he wanted to do necessarily, but he came to do what his Father asked him to do. He and his Father were one. They were united. And he was submitted to the will of the Father. He had the heart of a servant. We see that servant's heart clearly in his ministry. It was his testimony over and over again. Even in the text that was read to you for us this morning, he says, learn from me. I am meek and lowly. Lowly means humble. Lowly means servanthood. He said, learn from me. I have the heart of a servant. Even at the end of his earthly life, he prays, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. And the command goes out to all to learn from Jesus Christ. Learn to be a servant. Learn to be humble. Learn to be submitted. Just like our Master. It's very interesting in Scripture. The example of David. You remember, David was called a man after God's own heart. And as I thought of that, I wondered why. Why was David, of all the people in Scripture, called the man after God's own heart? Was he perfect? We know he wasn't. Was he sinless? We know he wasn't. Did he always do the right thing? We know he didn't. But I submit to you this morning, Scripture says the reason he was called a man after God's own heart is because he had a desire to do God's will. He didn't always succeed, but he had a desire. He had a desire to do God's will. Saul was rejected because he didn't do God's will, and David was made king because he was willing to do God's will. 1 Samuel 13:14 says, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought after him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people. Why? Because he has not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Because thou hast not kept that which the Lord has commanded thee. Saul was put out of being king because he didn't obey. He didn't have that heart, that servant's heart, to obey God. Acts 13:22 tells us about David, that he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave their testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. David showed his heart's desire. In Psalm 19, verse 47, it says, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and will meditate in thy statutes. Humble, submitted servants is who the Lord seeks out. We see it clearly in the life of David. We see it clearly in the life of Jesus. And we see it every day, day in and day out, in the life of Mother. Oh, Mother, we thank you so much for your servant's heart. It's a beautiful picture to each one of us of the life of Jesus Christ. You faithfully demonstrate your submission every day as you wear your prayer veiling, symbolizes a submissive heart. We see it every day as you serve as helpmeet to your husband, as you come alongside of him and support him and encourage him. We see it every day as your activities revolve around your children and your grandchildren and your neighbors and your friends, as you serve sacrificially, submitted, and humble. May God bless you in your efforts. Keep pressing on. In your heart of submission, we see the heart of Jesus. Number three, we also see that Jesus had a tender heart. Jesus' heart was tender. Jesus' heart was broken. We find it many times in Scripture. In Matthew 14, at the death of his cousin John the Baptist, Scripture tells us, when he heard of it, he went by ship into a desert place apart. I believe that was because he was hurting. He needed time apart to mourn and to think. He had a tender heart. A very familiar scripture, of course, is the death of Lazarus. Jesus wept. He had a tender heart. He had a grieving heart at times, a broken heart, a hurting heart. But to me, perhaps the most vivid picture of the grieving heart of Jesus was there at the end of his life. He had just finished up all the woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, pronouncing condemnation on the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. But then I believe the tone changes. I'd like to go to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23 and read a few verses. There. Matthew 23, verse 37. I think this is a tone change here between verse 36 when he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. But to me, I hear a tone change in verse 37. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he cries out. To me, that's the most vivid picture of a hurting and broken heart of Jesus. Jesus said, learn of me. Learn of me. Learn of my tenderness. Learn of my softness. Learn of my brokenheartedness. Some mothers in this auditorium this morning probably are brokenhearted. Broken with strained relationships. broken with the death of a loved one. Broken by children who had turned their backs on the faith and walked away. Broken by family members who are lost that you've been praying for years and years. Mothers, I tell you, if you're brokenhearted, tender-hearted, grieving, your Lord and Savior experienced it along with you. God looks down, Scripture tells us. He sees the hearts and the hurts of His people. God cares. Not one broken heart, not one tear goes unobserved by the all-knowing God. God can heal. God will heal. God works in the heart of the brokenhearted. God can provide for you comfort. And this morning, He offers you comfort by knowing that your Lord and Savior has a tender heart also. Mothers, I thank you this morning for the picture of Jesus Christ. As you allow your hearts to hurt, be soft and be tender before God. Number 4, the loving heart of Jesus. Again, the Scripture from beginning to end speaks about the love of God and the loving heart of Jesus. Love is who God is. Love is who Jesus is. It's not just an attribute, it's who God is. God is love, Scripture tells us. Love in the highest form of love. The highest form of love. I encourage you to think of a definition of this kind of love as sacrifice. The two words cannot be substituted for each other. Where you see love, think of sacrifice. Love is not an attraction. Love is not an obligation. Love is a choice. God makes a choice to love you. Jesus Christ makes a choice to love you. Love is to make the choice to sacrifice self to benefit others. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 5, what I think is perhaps the best scripture to talk about the love of Jesus Christ and what it is and what it contains. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Beautiful picture of sacrificial love. There's nothing that we've done. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what love is. Love is making a choice to die to self, lay down yourself for someone else. Jesus Christ said in what was read for you this morning, learn it from me. You want to know how to love? He says, learn it from me. And this kind of love we see very clearly in the heart of mother. Mother. motherhood perhaps is best described as a condition of sacrificial love. The unending patience mother has with us. The sacrifice mother makes for us. She gives her time. She gives up her rest with many sleepless nights. She gives up her health as she ministers to sick people without any fear of getting sick herself. She sacrifices her time. Motherhood is a beautiful picture of sacrificial love. And in the loving heart of mother, we have a beautiful picture of the loving heart of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you, mother. I encourage you to keep pressing on for the encouragement you are to each one of us, fathers and children, friends and neighbors, of what a loving heart is. Jesus commands us in Matthew 11, that Brother Ken read for us, 29, to learn from me. He said, I'm gentle. I'm loving. I'm humble. Learn from me. Learn from me how to forgive. Learn from me how to be submitted. How to be a servant. He said, learn from me how to have a tender and broken heart. And he says, learn from me how to have unconditional, sacrificial love. All this we learn from Jesus Christ, and we see so vividly portrayed in the heart of mother. There's a song that I often think of that describes this. It was written sometime in the 40s. I think it was recorded a number of times since then, but it's called The Sweetest Gift. It describes a mother's love for her son that is in prison. It goes like this. One day a mother went to a prison to see an erring but precious son. She told the warden how much she loved him. She didn't matter what he had done. Then the chorus goes, she did not bring to him parole or pardon. She brought no silver, no pomp or style. It was a halo bright sent down from heaven's light, the sweetest gift, a mother's smile. She left a smile you can remember. She's going to heaven from heartaches free. Those walls around you could never change her. You were her baby and heir will be. She did not bring to him parole or pardon. She brought no silver, no pomp or style. It was a halo bright sent down from heaven's light, the sweetest gift, a mother's smile. Without question, the greatest gift we receive from the hands of God is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But perhaps the second greatest gift we receive from God is that of a mother. And in her actions, we can see the heart of Jesus Christ. May God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Brian. And so thankful also for mothers this morning. I was just sitting here meditating and wondering how you would ever measure the amount of sacrificial love that a mother would have who would bear a dozen. And as she would bear that dozen, would provide innumerable meals and go through innumerable washings of clothes. And then would have a 13th. There's a scripture in Isaiah chapter 49 I'd like to read, verses 15 and 16. Now, most of you sitting here this morning, and all of you who are listening or watching, you've had or you have a mother yet that has been a blessing. But not everyone can say that. I've talked with people whose mothers deserted their father and they deserted them as children in order to live a lustful, wicked, sinful life. Isaiah 49, verse 15 says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?" Yea, believe it or not, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. So if you did not have that mother this morning that you can rejoice in and that you can be so thankful for her faithfulness and her undying love, you have a God who is actually compared to a mother here, and yet will I, your God, not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palm of my hands. I can look at my hands. God says I can look at my hands and I'll never forget you because you are there. What a God, what a heart of God, what a heart of Jesus. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise him for his word. Let's stand for prayer.